Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now.
Episode 1. This is Jeff Reeves.
And Eric Ollerbach. How's it going, guys?
This is our very first podcast. We are on our way to San Francisco as we speak.
Yeah, it's my 27th birthday coming up on Halloween, and my sister invited us up to go to San Francisco, because there's always a crazy parade, there's always a bunch of gay guys walking around.
And so we're here to fit in.
We are two straight men, you know, I feel like I have to say that now. We knew each other from way back when. How long have we known each other, Jeff?
Well, to give you a little backstory, we've known each other since kindergarten. I used to get babysit at Eric's house when I was about 5 years old. His mom used to watch me. I used to have very chapped lips back then, and I have chapped lips right now. I'm going to apply some chapstick.
Well, we both... Great, great story. We both... speaking of chapped lips, you know, we both were Catholic growing up. We were both molested.
By each other.
And so, yeah. That never happened. Let's just keep the white record straight here.
Well, okay. Me and Eric, we grew up through grade school, went to the same schools. Around seventh grade, we became bestest of friends, and that's when we began making movies together.
Yeah, we had the Eric and Jeff show. So
during our recess, we would have shows that we would put on for other people, and eventually they became little movies that we'd make together.
I think it happened in sixth grade. We started to become really good friends.
Seventh.
Really?
Oh, no, seven.
Okay. So then we got this, why are you mad? We got this, I got this Fisher-Price tape recorder, speaking of podcasts, coming full circle, you know, and we did a couple sketches that we wrote, and then at recess, our buddy Ray Allen was like, hey, you should make Jeff go up in front of people and make people laugh. And then he started telling jokes and doing good, but then he asked for a volunteer, and I, from the audience, I raised my hand. I said, I'll help you out. And then we just started doing the sketches that we did a few weekends before in front of people. And
and then it pretty much grew from there. Throughout the course of that one recess, or as we refer to it as house time, the crowd grew. And then by the following week, we decided to do another show. And this time we had pretty much kind of a packed classroom.
We weren't really on tour or anything, you know, like hitting the road and hitting the women hard. It was just basically our own little recess time. But every single person in our class would come in, would file in. And when we were in sixth and seventh grade during recess, and we would either, at first we would just put on live sketch performances, but then we would start filming things.
Well, anyway, by high school, we had started using editing software, making our videos still immature, but more sophisticated. Yeah. And with this even led into college, we did some more videos, but then eventually Eric went to NYU, where was it?
New school. Yeah.
I almost said NYU. He stayed at the NYU dorms.
That's what my parents would have liked to have happened.
Meanwhile, I went to Rowan University in South New Jersey, and then we both found ourselves moving out together to California, of which we've been out for nearly 4 years.
Uh-huh. Yeah, geez.
It was when we first moved out to California that I made my first and thus far only trip to San Francisco. That was to visit Eric's sister. And now we were doing this again. This is my second time to go to San Francisco, once again to stay at Eric's sister's place, and once again to have sex with men.
Okay, so again, let's just keep the record square here. I want to have a little backstory of what this podcast is going to be. This is a road trip podcast, you know. Going up to see my sister because she's moving to New York City, actually. And so we're going to go up, visit her, record a couple podcasts with her. Then we're going to come back down, and me and Jeff. But then 2 weeks from now, me and Emily are going to drive across the country and do a whole podcast on the road. So look forward to that.
These will be Audio Adventures of Eric Hollerbach. Episode 1, Jeff Reeves. That's
now,
me.
Now, I've known Jeff Reeves for a long, long time, but Eddie... incorrectly pronounces my name still. It's Hollerbach. Eric Hollerbach.
What did I say?
He said Hollerbach.
Oh, Hollerbach. Now, if you notice a lisp, it's because I have Invisalign. I've been doing it for about 2 months. It becomes difficult to say S's properly without a slight lisp coming out. That is not the way I usually speak. It is rather I'm trying to fix my teeth.
Great. Everyone knows about Jeff's Invisalign, so that'll be a recurring thing through the podcast. So yeah, so not much to look at now. We're going up Route 5, but we have some news articles to spur some conversation, and maybe we should take a look at those, Jeff.
That is correct. And the first one up is that a Massachusetts man wins $30 million from the lottery after losing his girlfriend. I'll be honest, I'm not sure what this headline means.
No, he his girlfriend dumped him, and then the next day he wins the lottery.
Oh, I see. Well, that is very much a lucky man. You know, if you're going to win the lottery, you don't want to do it while you're married, because your spouse will eventually have to take half of it.
She'll bleed you dry. She'll bleed you dry, because eventually you look at your spouse year after year. She's going to get old. She's going to get wrinkly. She's going to get... But, you know, your $30 million is still going to be able to get, like, make it so you can just crush pussy. You know what I mean?
Very accurate. However, you have to remember that as you get older, so does your taste in women, so that really love just grows from there. So that by the time you're 80, if your spouse is 77, you're looking at that and saying, wow, I'd like to hit that. That's really good. I'm in love right now.
See, I have a question for you, Jeff.
Yes.
Now, how old are the women in Playboy?
I would say early 20s.
Right. Now, so do old men look at Playboys?
I would say some do.
You think? But I think that everyone, you know, everyone aspires to have a 20-year-old girlfriend throughout their life, right?
Well, that is true. But to counter-argue, there are some people in their mid-20s who aspire to have sex with elderly women in their late 70s. For example, me.
Okay, go on. I don't quite understand your reasoning here.
See, there's a level of maturity that comes with age that, you know, old women, they can actually do things that that younger women just don't know how to do. Like hold you and listen to your feelings and listen to you talk and cry and make you feel warm.
Oh, so you just always like the older women.
I just like older women.
You think no matter what your age is, you want an older one.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent.
Yes. And, of course, there's men who are younger than I who would prefer women older than what I would aim for.
Yes, I like granny porn every now and then. Every now and then, you throw in some granny porn. That's like, here's my theory about granny porn. It's very important to take notes during this section, okay? Listen up.
Yes.
If you're always eating the most delicious food all the time, you're not even tasting it anymore.
Yes.
Every now and then, eat something that's kind of gross, right? Every now and then, have a kale shake or beet salad or something.
They're good for you.
Something that, you know, exactly.
Makes you appreciate the junk food.
Exactly. So then when you're biting into a delicious filet mignon that's 22 years old, that smells like fish, and you put your fingers in them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then you really appreciate it.
You're not going to appreciate that filet mignon unless you've had some porridge pouring over your mouth and dripping down.
Some pancakes. Some old floppy pancakes.
Some cream of wheat.
But this is what I'm saying, but you want that stuff. You want the wrinkles. You want the...
Well, yeah, it's tasty.
All right, excellent.
Well, here, let's move on to another news story.
Yeah, let's stick on... Okay.
I am observing now. Dog semen lawsuit. Linda Blackie, Miriam Thomas, Sue Vett over destroyed poodle sperm samples. Oh, my.
Now, there was an incident in which someone sued someone else over dog sperm. You can read more than the headline, Jeff.
Oh, I was not...
I'm kind of curious about this news article now.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what it's even about. I will begin. Oliver, one of the five dogs whose sperm samples led to the lawsuit. Looks like this animal hospital really screwed the pooch. Two Pennsylvania women were awarded more than $200,000 in total on Thursday in a lawsuit over the destroyed sperm samples of five champion poodles, the Center Daily Times reports. Linda Blackie, breeder of Whisperwind Kennels in Altoona and dog owner of Miriam Thomas, Huntington, had entrusted 122 frozen samples of semen from the prized pooches to the Mount Nittany Animal Hospital.
Ah.
The hospital mistakenly thawed and thus destroyed the samples.
Oh, no.
In May 2010, according to the Associated Press.
You gotta sue over that cum, then.
Oh my God.
I guess that's what, so they're saying that they had the most beautiful, they breeded dogs, right? They
yes.
spent a lot of money breeding these dogs. They made sure that they were all perfectly inbred. They were like German Nazi scientists, right? Trying to inbreed as much as possible to make the perfect super dog, a dog that will take over the world. Right?
Yes.
Sorry, a little politics slipping out right there. And,
that was edgy.
And then after making all this cum and having this facility hold it for them, they don't have enough backup generators and the cum dries out, or the cum melts and goes bad.
I had no idea that people even collected dog semen. I it makes perfect sense, but...
It's for breeding. If you have a bitch that you want some high quality, you know, the most pure dog cum possible, you go to these people.
I thought breeders would rather, you know, just had kind of farms where they collected a lot of purebred animals and let them go at it. I didn't realize they, you know, did it the old fashioned way with injections.
I think some breeds of dogs are so hard to manage or whatever. Maybe you can only do it, maybe there's only a few breeders in the world who work with a very rare species. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes perfect
sense. And then they whack them off into a cup, and then they sell that jizz.
Wow. I wonder how much that costs.
Well, if they're suing for the kind of money that they're suing for, this is a multi... How much are they suing for? $200,000 for all
this
cum?
Yeah, I think it was, $200,000.
Excellent. So that is quite a...
Well, yeah, you have to wonder, I mean, is a poodle really that worth it? That you need to have a purebred poodle from a jar of jizz? Frankly, I don't even like poodles. No offense to poodle owners. They're just not my cup of tea.
What do you have against poodle? I used to have a poodle growing up, Jeff.
Oh, I remember. Snowflake.
Snowball.
Snowball. I admit, I had nothing against Snowball, but the breed itself was nothing...
Kind of a shitty dog. It would bite people and stuff. It wasn't very nice.
It was a little aggressive, I admit.
It was a little aggressive. And, but then, one day, we got it back, right? Because after me and my sister saw the South Park movie... And there's one scene where Terrence and Philip wish cancer onto somebody. So then me and my sister, like, really spent time. We got the dog down. We said, sit. We got it in position. And we both put our hands forward and said, I wish cancer onto you, Snowball. I wish cancer onto you. Guess what happened?
What?
He got a tumor on his leg. And
oh,
he was dead
God.
In 6 months.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I remember when he died. I didn't know you were the cause of that.
Well... I don't like going around bragging about my cancer powers, but that's what happened.
Well, that's actually very impressive, I admit. Yeah. I hope you don't do that to me.
Well, watch out. You know, keep this entertaining. I want to see a lot of jokes coming out of you during this fucking road trip. Otherwise, here come the magic fingers.
Well, now you have another dog back home, Buddy. What kind of dog is Buddy?
Buddy is a Basenji.
That's Basenji.
My dog. Well, right now my dad is taking care of Buddy. We'll see my dad when we drive to New Jersey. Maybe we'll get him on the podcast. He is absolutely in love with Buddy. And they, you know, it's kind of like he's an old man. He's separated now. The dog is basically his day-to-day companion. And
how old is Buddy?
He's getting old, man. He's getting 11. And
wow.
And he's got two, like, his lymph nodes are swollen, so it looks like he has big titties.
Oh, God.
But he's a boy dog.
Oh.
It's getting time, man. It's getting time soon. And I'm really worried that my dad's going to drive his car off a cliff after this dog goes, you know?
Oh, well. On to the next news story.
Okay, excellent.
Worker cooked to death at Bumblebee Seafood Plant in California.
Unbelievable. Go on. Listen.
California workplace safety officials are investigating how a worker at a Bumblebee Foods seafood plant wound up being cooked to death in an industrial oven. The accident happened Thursday morning at the Bumblebee Foods factory in Santa Fe Springs, California. Police and fire personnel, responding to a 911 call from the business, found a worker dead inside a cooker device called a steamer machine, according to KTLA. The victim was identified as Jose Molina, 62, an employee at the factory for more than 6 years. An initial investigation indicated that Molina was fatally injured when he was cooked in an oven.
Unbelievable.
Now, I'm trying to figure out exactly how this happened. How do you fall in an oven?
It's a mysterious... I think it's one of these things where, you know, the details and the photographs are very gory. Maybe there's still an investigation. They can't say too much before a trial. I imagine lawsuits are going to come out of this.
Yeah, unfortunately, it sounds like there was more to this story than the initial report is suggesting. It sounds to me like someone put him in there.
Well, you think you detect foul play?
I detect foul play.
Well,
just
go
by
on.
A few sentences.
Okay, well, let's hear your story.
Well, for starters, I used to work in a restaurant for many years. Believe me, it is tricky to fall inside an oven. When the door is open, I know it's tempting to dip your head in there and actually jump inside, but generally speaking, it does not happen.
Now, there was a witch from the story Hansel and Gretel where the witch was trying to cook the little kids, right?
Yeah, but...
So maybe she works for Bumba Gump.
That's very true, and it was Bumblebee, seafood restaurant.
Oh, Bumblebee, seafood, okay.
Now, frankly, two problems with that. One, bumblebees are not seafood. They are not even close to seafood. Secondly, if you're...
It wasn't Bubba Gump? I thought it was Bubba Gump.
No, it was okay. Bumblebee seafood restaurant.
Okay.
But nevertheless, the witch from Hansel and Gretel, they didn't even mention in the story. I have no idea if she even worked in there. I don't even think she's alive anymore, frankly.
You might be right. Also, the thing I want to point... was this actually a restaurant, are you sure? Or was this... Now, if you franchise a restaurant, that means that there's going to be a giant manufacturing place where they manufacture the food and then ship it to all the restaurants so
yes.
that all the restaurants taste the same. Now, was this at one of the plants where they're making all the food, thusly have a man-sized oven where it would be feasible that it would be accidental to have a man boiled to death in a fun... I imagine a restaurant is kind of... You know, how many people are at this fucking restaurant where there's someone falling into an oven, you know what I mean?
That's actually a very good point. I don't believe they mentioned whether it, in fact, was in the restaurant or the plant. The plant is much more believable, because I gotta say, if you're in the restaurant in the kitchen...
Right.
There's so many cooks and workers around that I find it hard to believe that someone could fall inside the oven and start screaming and no one actually hear him.
Now, here's the thing, Jeff. I'm into conspiracy theories. We know this, and we'll probably discuss this more later.
It's a healthy skepticism.
I don't have that. But so what I'm saying definitely happened was this guy started he went up in the Bubba Gump Corporation.
Yes.
He found out that the corporation was polluting.
Yes.
And then, you know what they do? They say, hey, you know what? You think we're polluting? How about you come down to the plant? And then they show him all the evil polluting that they're doing, all the factory farming that they're doing, how disgusting it is. And then he goes, I'm going to report you! And then kick, and they kicked him right in the forehead, and he fell in the oven.
I'd counter-argue, but that sounds about right.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. That was Podcast 1, and we'll
see you at Episode 2.
Bye.
What's up? It's Eric Hollenbach. I'm reminding you to check out my other podcast, Fudge House Rules. We did 3 new episodes. We're going to re-RSS on iTunes, all the old ones again. It's been 6 years in the making. Fudge House Rules is back. Also, look forward to Damien Shadow's web series. It's probably going to be out around February 2013. Also, check out my Facebook. Get on my Twitter handle. They're both Eric Hollenbach. Get on my news feed. I got the shit wired.